Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, they moved into an older home in Georgia built on land that had seen its share of history. And it didn't take long to realize they weren't the only ones there.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Thank you very much for listening. We really appreciate it. And if you would like to share your ghost stories, that would make us super happy. So you could call them in, leave us a voicemail at 855-853-4802. If you want to write it down, go to realghoststoriesonline.com. If you would like to become a premium subscriber, get the advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials, you could sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon is here today. I actually feel lucky to be here today.
Why is that?
Because yesterday, Benji and I almost got brutally attacked by dogs. It was terrifying.
That is so scary.
The crazy thing about it was we walk all the time, as people I think have figured out, that you and I are dog walkers. We're always walking our dogs twice every single day, no matter what.
Yeah.
And yesterday, I've been doing this for, how long have I been a dog owner? A really, really, really long time. And I believe in walking your dog. If you have a dog, I just believe you need to go out and get yourself some exercise and your dog needs to explore. So I've been doing this for years. Yesterday was the first time I ever called 911.
That's really scary.
I felt that. I was like, this is ending bad. And it was a Great Dane and some kind of pit mix. Both really large, solid dogs. The Great Dane weighed as much as I do. And, you know, my friend had a Great Dane for a while, Lynn. And she had Great Danes for years. And some of them were really nice, but she had one that was just vicious. It was not a nice Great Dane. And it attacked when I had Buddy. It attacked Buddy more than once. It never attacked me. And that Great Dane was trying to get Benji. I literally ended up on somebody's front porch, knocking on their door, like, can you help me?
That's really scary. Yeah.
Yeah. And nobody was home. And so then I call animal control because once it was weird. Once I got up on the porch, they kind of just stood in the yard. They're not letting me off the porch, but they weren't coming to me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I felt safer, not quite as panicky there. And I called animal control. It said, if you are currently experiencing a vicious animal, you need to hang up and call 911. So that's what I did. And while I'm on the phone with him, the dogs ended up walking across the street into somebody's backyard behind a shed. And I'm like, I'm telling the guy, I go, I think if I leave right now, I might be able to get out of here before they see me. And so he stayed on the phone with me until I was at my house.
Oh, good.
And but then later in the day, about an hour or two later, I got home and I'm like, I wonder if they don't belong to this house across the street. And the it's a weird house, big lots here. They're pushed all the way at the back of their lot and their fence is at the back of their house. And so you can't see this house really. So I'm like, I wonder if they belong over there because I've seen some dogs. I thought maybe they were dog sitting before. And I'm like, you know what? I think I saw dogs that might've looked like that. So I look out, they're in my front yard. So I thought, I'm going to go over and make sure that, you know, hey, are these your dogs?
You were so brave. I would have never left the
Yeah, it was a really bad idea. I honestly thought, though, they were after my dog. I'm kind of a dog whisperer. You know, I'm good with dogs. I'm not afraid of them. And so I was really afraid for Benji yesterday more than because I would have ended up in the middle of it, though. But I thought, you know, I could just walk over there and just have the guy get his dogs. They're right here. I got at the end of my driveway, crossed the street, and I'm like, oh, shit. Like, this dog is going to attack me. And so I didn't know what to do. I started talking in that, oh, my God, you're a good boy. Good boy. And I couldn't even turn my back to this dog. And I'm like, I have got to get in my house because actually I'm afraid. And that's not the right energy to have. And so I backed up all the way to my house. I was like, the whole time, I'm like, please do not attack me because these dogs are way too big. I wouldn't stand a chance. And yeah, so it was terrifying. So now,
did you ever find out if those dogs belong over there?
Nope. No, because I don't want to walk up to their house now. I'm like, shit.
You know what's
weird? I tried to call them, but their phone number's been changed.
You know, most dogs have their territory, and that's what they're worried about, right? And as long as you stay off of that, they're like, you know, okay. They kind of get that the rest of the world is kind of fair game, but not their little area or whatever. These guys don't seem to have that sense of boundaries.
Yeah, and once I was walking to their house, then I think they had the sense of boundaries. Like, you're not going right in this yard.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And before then, it might have been more about Benji. I don't know. But I just was like, man, I've never had this overwhelming feeling that this could end. Now I see how it happens when people are attacked and really, really horrifically hurt by animals. Mm-hmm. That I was like, shit, I got in the house and I was just shaking. I was like,
yeah,
I have never had that happen. Like, I have dealt with so many dogs walking my dogs over the years, and I've been in control every time, and I've never not had that kind of control.
You know, a while back, as you know, I had an incident with, oddly enough, a Great Dane and a Rottweiler. It might have been a Rottweiler mix. I'm not sure, but it looked like one. It was marked like one. So about that size of dogs. But what happened was, I often listen to podcasts or books while I'm walking. I had my, you know, earbuds in. And apparently they saw us and pushed the front door open. It, like the regular, it was just a screen door. And somehow they pushed hard
I've
enough
that
it opened
too.
The door.
Yeah.
Came running out, unbeknownst to me, the Great Dane jumped on my back, knocked me down, and then I'm just fair game. And of course, Madden is my little dog who looks like a miniature schnauzer, is going crazy because now he thinks they've attacked me. I think they were just trying to play, if you want to know the truth, because had they wanted to take us out, they would have right then and there, you know, because I was completely helpless. But I'm screaming and really scared. And this guy hears me or whatever, comes running, and, you know, he yells at the dogs. They take off running and disappear. I get up. I'm all banged up. I'm scraped up. My knees are scraped. My elbows are scraped. I got a scrape on my chin. You know, like, they've really bruised me up. And thank God I still had Madden. Somehow he didn't get off and gone in the mix of it. But it is so, so scary. And like I said, I think they were just huge dogs trying to play, excited about Madden, because had they wanted to hurt me badly, they would have had time to do it.
These guys wanted to hurt me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I was so scared. Whoa. Like, I had no idea. I didn't even know what hit me. I'm just down on the ground. And they're jumping on me.
So now, like, before I took Benji for his walk last night, I got in the car and drove around.
Oh, I'm so sorry, because I hate that your neighborhood has become a less safe place for you because of
this. But we walked this morning. I didn't see him. And I've never seen him out on the loose before. So my guess is hopefully it was just a one-time thing. I don't know. I don't know.
But it kind of just puts a damper on taking your dog for a walk because you're afraid.
Oh, yeah. I looked over my shoulder a million times. And I don't walk with earbuds in or anything because of that.
Yeah.
Because I've had a couple of things happen that, you know, cars especially. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be able to hear something coming up behind me. But, oh, it was scary. I'm never
so
scared.
Sorry.
I was really scared yesterday twice. Because I'm like, they're so just sorry. After my dog, not me. I'm going to get him home. And then I'm like, no, I'm not, as I'm backing up to my house. I'm like, I am not getting anywhere.
My thing is, don't be that guy that just lets your dog out in the morning.
And they don't, like, I've never seen these dogs out on the loose. That was the weird thing. Well, let's talk about something more uplifting and heartwarming, like a good old-fashioned haunted house story.
I love haunted house stories.
Let's go straight to this call.
Hey, guys. I wanted to tell you a story about the most haunted house I ever lived in. I've lived at a number of haunted houses, but this one I thought was kind of special because of a couple of things that happened. The house, this house was located in Georgia, south of Atlanta, in an area where there's a lot of the Civil War was fought there. You can still see a lot of the earth dams and earthworks where these poor people lay down and shot at each other. And to geographically describe the house, imagine this hill, and there was an old house at the top of the hill, probably built in the 1800s. It wasn't a huge mansion. It was just a really nice house for the time. And they probably owned a lot of the land around it, and they farmed it. So if you walk out of their door and you kind of imagine a slope going down, about a mile down was a family cemetery. And our house was located right between the cemetery and the house. And around the cemetery, a modern neighborhood had grown up, and our house was one of them. The cemetery was a small family plot, so you really didn't know it was there unless you walked into it, simply because it was overgrown. But that entire neighborhood had activity. We had neighbors ask us if we had cold spots in our house. The lady that lived next to the cemetery was a teacher, and she would go to school in the morning, and she would teach. She would go back to her house, and she would grade her papers and have dinner, and then she would go to her parents' house to sleep. She would not sleep in that house at night. But anyway, when I moved into the house, I got married to my wife, and she used to live in the house, so she was familiar with it, and she warned me that the house had that she had ghosts in there. And because of my background, I believe there was no, I've lived in enough houses with ghosts. So I immediately started getting feelings throughout the house. And a lot of them were things like you'd walk through a room and you would smell a candle burning. And you moved a couple of inches, you no longer smell the candle. You can no longer smell the wax. If you move back, you could smell it again. And I would tell her about it, and she'd just say, yeah, that's how they let you know where they are. And you'd be in one room, and if there was a light in another room, you'd see a shadow walking between the two. And I remember the first time this happened, I told myself, there better be somebody in that room. And I walked into that room, and it was completely empty, but something had definitely come between the fan light and the shadow casting in our bedroom. There were a number of issues. Something would be thrown against the house at night, and my impression was one of a big black duffel bag filled with some heavy things, and it's like it was taken and thrown hard against the side of the house. And of course, if you walked out there, there was nothing. There was nothing at all. My wife would have me close all the closet doors at night and the bathroom door, and she was sensitive enough so that she knew where they were, and she'd tell you, okay, they're standing over there next to the closet door, or there's one over there. And that was a gift that I only developed several years later, and it just suddenly happened. And I can completely relate to the way she was feeling at that time. There was one particular ghost that she always had the sensation that was a little girl. We walked to the cemetery one day, and we were scrounging around. We're looking at all the headstones, and we came across a headstone of a little girl that had died. I forget, she was 8 or 9 years old. It was in the 1800s, and her name was Mary. And for some reason, we both decided, yeah, that's her. That Mary is the little girl in the house, as well as a lot of other people, but she was definitely one of them. And one of the most interesting stories for me was that one Saturday morning, I woke up, and being Saturday, I decided I just want to go back to sleep, which was unusual. Usually when I wake up, I'm up. But I started dreaming that I was in the backyard of a house, and there were two stumps, and I was sitting on one of them looking at a house, and there was a little girl sitting next to me, and she had like this curly hair, and she was wearing this gingham dress. And she was just talking to me, telling me about how she used to live there and how the slope that I mentioned before, the way she described it was almost like it was terraced. They used to farm on there. And then she pointed to the side of the yard. It was a pretty big yard. It's about an acre. And the one on the side of the house, she said, that's where we used to grow the strawberries. And that's where my wife and I always found what we thought were wild strawberries. And we used to go and pick them. So she told me a little bit more about living there, and then I just woke up, and I walked into the kitchen. I told my wife, hey, guess who I was just talking to? And she said, wait, before you tell me, let me tell you one thing. She pointed to the backyard, to the exact spot where we were sitting. Now, those stumps that we were sitting on are no longer there. But she pointed right at that area. She said, Mary's right over there. And she pointed exactly to the spot where in my dream I was talking to Mary. So I thought it was very interesting, the connection between the dream and her awareness of the location. You know, what's real here? But it wasn't always pleasant. Like I'm saying, they were throwing things against the house. We had a four-year-old that would wake up screaming, talking about the men, and what it sounded like in red plaid shirts. And she would describe them as having rat eyes. And she'd never seen a real rat, as far as I know, only on TV. But she said their eyes looked like they were the eyes of a rat, and they were red and glowing. And there were times when something just went through the house and the answering machine. I remember the old answering machine? It sounded like somebody just clicking the button on and off, on and off, on and off. And the lamps would be sideways, and things would be moved around while we walked into the room. So it got to be a little bit too much, and we moved out of that house. The folks that bought it, by coincidence, we remained friends, and they never said that anything ever happened to them. Now, they had a lot of kids, so maybe they were just too busy dealing with all the brood, because it was a fairly large house, and they never mentioned that anything happened to them in the house, but it certainly did to us. Anyway, I thought you might enjoy that story, and I will call up with another one in the future. Bye.
I always find stories like that to be really interesting when he's living in a house that seems really, really haunted. And mm-hmm. then the next people, they know them. It seems like since they're friends, maybe it would have come up in conversation. But it's just interesting that they're like, nothing's ever happened to them.
Do you think they're just not sensitive?
That's could be. It? And I mean, he did say, aren't. Well, he did say that they have a lot of kids. My lawnmower guy just got here. So if people are hearing like a weird sound in the background, it's my yard getting mowed. Because two episodes ago, I told you that my lawnmower is busted again. But anyways, you know, he said there was a lot of people in the mm-hmm. house, a lot of kids. So I always wonder about that, too.
Right.
That, you know, like we took that paranormal investigation. It was just the two of us. I think that's very different than 10 of us. Because when you have right. a lot of people going in and out of the house and activity and people talking, I just think it's different.
I agree with that. But I just wonder if it's a sensitivity issue, because his wife was incredibly sensitive. Like, she could see and knew where spirits were. And then he said eventually somehow he was able to do that too down the road. So they are super sensitive people. It sounded like that they had a daughter who would have, you know, experiences too. Very scary ones, actually. So I got a feeling it's just a different dynamic of families. These guys just don't have a sensitive feeling towards the paranormal. They really did.
That would be weird if you were a ghost that... Sorry, it's really loud right now. He's going right by my window. It would be really weird if you were a ghost and like you have a family moving in that you can creep them out all the time. You know, you're getting through in their dreams. Kids,
yeah, you're having interactions.
You're feeling super successful as a ghost. You're like, man, I can do anything and I'm freaking these people out. And then the next family moves in and you're giving it everything you got. And it's like, I can't get through to them. What do I have to do with these people?
And I do think that it sounds like they wanted to interact. Like, they were really interacting with this family. And then the next one's just completely oblivious.
Yeah, and the poor ghosts. They're like, we're trying.
Yeah.
We're giving it everything we got.
But one of the things I thought was interesting, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, I swear at some point in the story early on, he said his wife had lived in that house before.
Yeah, yeah. And it sounded like Maybe it was, it could have been a family house.
So I'm wondering if it was one of those scenarios where you grew up in this house, or you were very young at the very least in this house and started having these experiences. I believe strongly that as a child, if you are, you know, put in this situation where you're in a haunted house, you don't have those barriers or those defenses against them. And you could, you know, develop these sensitivities. And she did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that wouldn't explain why all these kids from that came after wouldn't have. But they might have. Just because they weren't telling you the stories doesn't mean some of these kids didn't live through stuff growing up in it. They may have. They just didn't tell you.
And it kind of sounded like that wasn't the only haunted house he lived in.
I know. So, and I'm thinking there might be some more stories to be told here. But I agree that I do think some of these areas, I don't think we get enough Georgia stories. I think Georgia is a super haunted state, you know? And so I'm kind of surprised we don't get more of them. But the fact that you've got a cemetery here, the old house there, you're surrounded by Civil War sites, and it's just got to be just full of paranormal stories in that area.
Oh my God, yes. And that whole area with the little cemetery down the road and all that stuff. You can picture it in your head. Well, let's go to this story, and that says, this happened when I was in high school. I want to say my junior year, back when I was living in a really small town where there honestly wasn't much to do at night once everything closed. Most nights it was the same routine. You'd either be at someone's house or you'd end up driving around for a while until everybody got bored and picked one of the usual spots to sit and hang out. There was this one place just outside of town that people went to all of the time. Wasn't anything special, just a dirt pull off at the top of a hill that overlooked a bunch of fields and tree lines. It was quiet, far enough out that no one would bother you. So that night, there were four of us in the car, me, my friend Jake, who was driving, and two other friends, Ryan and Matt. I remember that pretty clearly because Matt kept leaning forward between the seats, trying to talk over everyone else, and Jake kept telling him to sit back because he couldn't see out the mirror. We had already been driving around for a while, ended up heading out there pretty late, probably close to midnight. Wasn't planned or anything, just one of those decisions you make when nobody has anything better to do. When we got there, everything felt completely normal. Jake pulled the car up, facing out toward the open land, shut it off, and we just sat there talking like we always did. The music was low, conversation kind of bouncing around between all of us, nothing out of the ordinary. And I don't remember exactly who noticed it first, but someone pointed out toward the tree line and said something like, "What's that?" "That's my mower going by." At first, it looked like a small light way off in the distance. It wasn't bright enough to immediately stand out as anything strange. And my first thought was that it probably was just a house or maybe someone out there with a flashlight. Nobody reacted in a big way. We all just kind of watched it while still talking, trying to figure out what it might be. Then another light showed up, and then another. They didn't appear all at once, but close enough together that it got our full attention. They were scattered out there, not in any kind of pattern that made sense, just spread out across the trees and the edge of the field. We started trying to explain it. Ryan said maybe it was people walking around with flashlights. Matt thought maybe it was reflections or someone catching light from farther away. And at the time, that kind of sounded reasonable, but then we realized they weren't staying in one place. The lights were moving. Not quickly, not in any way that immediately made it feel dangerous, but enough that you could tell they weren't fixed. One would fade out and then show up somewhere else. Another would drift slightly in a different direction, and there were more of them now than there had been at the beginning. The conversation in the car started to slow down without anyone really saying anything about it because we were all watching the lights. I wasn't scared at that point. I was confused. But then something changed, and it wasn't the lights. It was how I felt. I remember it very clearly because it didn't match what was happening in front of me. It was like something hit me all at once, like a heavy feeling in my chest that didn't come from anything I could point to. Not panic, not fear, but it was strong enough that it made me stop paying attention to what everyone else was saying. I just had this really clear sense that we shouldn't be there. And the strange part was I couldn't explain it. Nothing had rushed us or made a loud noise or done anything obvious. The lights were still at a distance, still moving the same way they had been, and the others were still trying to figure out what they were looking at. Then one of the lights changed. It was farther up the hill than the rest, and it got a little brighter, just enough that it stood out. And instead of drifting like the others, it started moving more directly down the hill and toward us. It still wasn't moving fast, but it was different enough that it made everything feel more real. And that's when I said something. I don't remember exactly what I said, but I know I told them we needed to leave. Not in a joking way or like I was just ready to go, but serious enough that it changed the tone in the car right away. Matt pushed back right away and said something like, "Hold on, I want to see what it does." Because up until then, it had still felt more interesting than anything. But I knew I didn't want to stay and I couldn't explain why. I said it again more firmly this time. Jake didn't argue with me after that. He just turned the key and started the car. As we pulled away, I looked back toward where the brighter light had been. I don't remember seeing it stop or disappear, just that it was still there, still moving in that same direction. The drive back felt different. No one was really talking about it the same way as before. Ryan tried to explain it again, saying it had to be people out there, something reflecting. And I remember wanting that to be true because it was easier than not knowing. At one point later on, I even wondered if it could have been something like a UFO just because of how the lights moved and how many there were. But that didn't really explain how it felt sitting there watching them. I've never had that happen before or since. I've been in plenty of situations where something didn't make sense right away, but I've never had that same feeling hit me out of nowhere like that again. And I've never had that kind of certainty that I needed to leave without being able to explain why. I still don't know what those lights were. I just know that something out there didn't feel right, and whatever it was, I'm glad we didn't stay long enough to find out more. I'd be interested to hear what you think. And I'm not sure who wrote that in. Do you think it could have been paranormal? Do you think it could have been UFOs? Could it have been some weird light
thing? You know, I'm telling you, I've had a similar experience more than once where I've seen lights, you know, been out with my friends, goofing around out in the middle of the night, and there's strange lights. And I couldn't explain it. I was creeped out by it. You know, I too felt like UFO, alien, when I saw it. I didn't feel as much paranormal as I did alien. That there's searchlights of some sort, but not people searching. It felt very strange. And so I get it. I don't have a good explanation for that either. I have experienced something similar in a couple times.
And I think that feeling could be you're dealing with something that's unexplainable and very strange, and it's intuition. You know, it's like your body's taking over that flight or fight or flight feel.
Get out.
Yeah. So I always say, listen to that inner voice, you know, if that's what it's telling you, freaking do it.
Yeah, I am with you, unknown person with Matt, Ryan, and Jake. I'm not sure what your name is, but when something's wrong, because we could all sit here and go, well, it's a bunch of people with flashlights. But then what you're seeing isn't lining up with that, right? You know that all of a sudden there's this one that's starting to come towards you, maybe too fast for a person in that distance, right? So you know it's not right. You know it isn't. But I will tell you, I think it's something more along the UFO line than the paranormal line. I'm alien, 100% on this.
Well, if it was paranormal, I don't know how that would work.
And I don't either, right? paranormal. I don't think they have lights. I think they're just creepy shadows.
But there are orbs, you know, that light up, that people have seen, like a floating blue orb or something, you know. So I do think that something lit up could be paranormal.
Okay. Okay. That's a good one.
I do believe that. Them being out in a field in the middle of nowhere at night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Are aliens all the time conducting experiments on us and stuff? Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. That's all aliens are meant to do is explore and conduct investigations.
Because what they were doing was, like, they could have been down there going, what are they growing in their fields?
And, oh, you know, you alfalfa. Would have to think by this point, they would have explored us pretty good. Like, they're like, they're really nothing that exciting there. Let's move on, you know.
Well, maybe they're looking at the latest in fertilization or something.
And maybe it's the newest group of aliens to show up and they haven't investigated yet. I don't know. I think something was weird there. I'm with you. I think so. I have felt it too. I remember as a kid that we used to live in a haunted house that was across the street from a lake. And across the lake, there would be weird lights at night. When you'd sit out on the porch and you'd watch across, you'd see these weird dancey lights over on the other side of the lake. There wasn't anything. There wasn't a town. People didn't live over there. I don't know what they were. You know, and I do remember being with friends and seeing weird lights a couple times. So, yeah, I think this is definitely something that could happen. I'm going to jump on the alien UFO bandwagon here, but Carol has a good idea with the orbs.
And, you know, one of the guys had a good idea. Maybe it was just some weird people out there with flashlights.
And maybe that's weird. But when you get that weird sense that the flashlight is moving too close and, you know, the span of space is coming too quickly, you know something's weird.
Yeah, maybe it was like somebody lost something and it's like, hey, everybody, grab a flashlight. Let's go look for her earring.
We're all going out to the woods to look for
whatever,
right?
She lost an earring in the field. We must find it. Even though it would be less time consuming to just go buy her a new pair.
Or wait till morning.
Yes.
You know?
So I don't know. It feels weird to me.
It does feel weird. I think something was going on there.
Well, if you have a real ghost story, we would love to hear it. You can leave us a voicemail at 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. And remember, you can be a premium subscriber. Get advanced episodes, access to the archive without commercials. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.